Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MyFit podcast, hosted by fitness coach, business owner, and CrossFit Games athlete, DJ Hillier. Physical fitness and podcasting are two of his life passions, and his goal is to train, educate, and inspire those who want to improve their general health. These podcasts are designed to help everyone, from the occasional gym member trying to improve their overall wellness to the fitness enthusiast. The episodes capture a wide spectrum of topics, including training, coaching, nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationships, and mindset. Follow the show on Instagram at TheMyFitPodcast and subscribe to his newsletter at DJHillier.com. So let's get to it.
Hi guys, welcome back. I'm DJ Hillier and you're listening to the MyFit Podcast fueled by Ascent Protein. Today on the show, I interview Alex Macklin. Alex is a former host of the Barbell Shrug podcast. He also competed at a national level as a weightlifter and is most currently a nutrition coach. Today, we got into a lot of things nutrition related, but we first started with starting a nutrition business and creating a brand. I really liked the things that he said about starting your why, creating your why, and also really basing your company off of your core values. After that, Alex went into how to put out content on social media and kind of stand out from the other people in your industry. Later on, Alex went into the process and what it looks like taking on new clients and what that consult first hour needs to kind of be built upon. And I really enjoyed this part because I think a lot of personal trainers and coaches miss this step and end up regretting it later on with their new clients. Later in the episode, we get into general nutrition advice and tips for everybody. And then at the end, we talk about some simple ways to break down and create long, sustaining habits when it comes to nutrition. If you guys are looking to get another edge on nutrition or hear another source that you can trust on nutrition, you will love this episode with Alex Macklin. If you're looking to give back to the show, please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes and share it with a friend so we can continue to make a big impact with this podcast and with general health and wellness. Also, special thanks to my tech guy, Tony, for making these episodes sound great every single week. I appreciate you. Guys, enjoy this episode. We will see you next week. Alex Macklin, welcome to the MyFit podcast, man. It's awesome to have you on the show. How are you today?
Doing well, DJ. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. You're a guy that I've been looking forward to having on the show. I've been watching ever since you're on Barbell Shrugged, and it's been cool to see you kind of venture away from that and kind of create your own business model and your own nutrition coaching company. And I'm really excited today to kind of break apart your business, some of your models, and then also some kind of just common questions that you probably get a lot when it comes to nutrition.
Sounds good, man. Let's jump in.
Awesome. Let's get after it. So first things first, for the people that don't know you, Alex, talk to us a little bit about how you got into nutrition coaching.
Well, nutrition coaching, I was coaching with Barbell Shrugged for a long time. I was in grad school, and Mike Bledsoe, Doug Larson, who started Barbell Shrugged podcast, along with Chris Moore and CTP. I started to work with them during grad school, and then they brought me on as a coach in some of their online training programs. And then through that, I started to coach, you know, just weightlifting, but then we also had nutrition components in there as well. So I had a little inkling of nutrition coaching there. I didn't really have all that much background at that point in it, but it was one of those things where I kind of learned as I went along and then got some certifications and things like that, get some education going. And then near the tail end of my career with Barbell Shrugged, I started coaching on my own and then had my own clients. And then I left Barbell Shrugged, went to go work with Travis Mash for a little bit, and then I just decided that I wanted to just do my own thing. And that's when I started full-time nutrition coaching, and I've been doing it for about almost 2 years now. Yeah. It's all totally on my own.
Awesome, man. That's so cool. Tell us a little bit about what was it like to branch off and create a brand of your own, and what was that whole process like?
Scary.
Absolutely.
It wasn't too scary. I had already kind of had a following from Barbell Shrugged days. So people knew what I was about. People knew my story. People knew, like, they saw me basically start from, like, you know, very like beginner novice type fitness person. And then, like, you know, over time, learn all these things and develop my own, you know, philosophies and voice and learn from other people as well as take all that stuff in too. So it wasn't too challenging to really know what I was about because I had just spent so much time doing that already.
Right. What do you think are a couple pieces of advice that you'd give to people that are trying to branch out and start their own brand or maybe become a nutrition coach? And they're kind of starting from, you know, they have the education side of things and they're like, you know, what do I do next? Looking back, Alex, what are some pieces of advice you would give somebody that wants to just kind of get started, take that first step?
I think a really big thing is to, one, know what your why is. You know, why you're doing something, what's important to you, your core values. I think that's a very big thing about brand is, and we, you know, when I was at Shrugged, we talked a lot about that. We really tried to build something and around our core values. And I got to kind of see where that could go in terms of branding. And then I think that's a really, really big, important thing that people need to think about, like when they are trying to create a brand. Cause I mean, again, like, you know, it is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the book, Start With Why, but absolutely, you know, yeah. People buy why you do something. So you have to have a very strong why. You have to understand like what your why is, and then you communicate that to people. And it's a lot easier to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so was that something that was easy for you to finding your why, or was it something that you kind of struggled with?
No, I mean, I definitely went back and forth, you know, like different things, you know. At first I thought I really wanted to work with like athletes and all that kind of stuff. And then I found out like, I really just enjoy working with regular people, seeing how they can create like just a lifetime of health, happiness around nutrition and fitness. You know, and that's really more what I found that I was aligned with. And I think that sometimes it's going to take you figuring out what you want to do, and that's okay. And you try stuff and it doesn't work, and or you try stuff and it doesn't really feel right. Like, I think we'll feel a lot like in our gut. I know that's kind of hokey to say that, but like it will pull at you if it doesn't feel right. And I think you gotta listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny that you said that you thought that you wanted to work with elite athletes. I think sometimes too, like personal trainers, I do some personal training at my gym, and like you think that you're going to work with like, you know, these college studs or whatever it may be. And it's like, dude, that's just not one, that's not going to pay your bills because it's just, no. there's just not enough out there. But maybe, you know, if that is your goal early on, make sure you kind of select a specific field or specific facility that works with those people, because that's just not what pays your bills at the end of the day.
Yeah, totally. And also for me, it's just not as fulfilling and rewarding. I mean, it's cool, like helping somebody like obviously reach a high level, but you know, I much rather help the mom, dad, you know, average working person, you know, who's struggling with health and doesn't really understand like how to be healthy and do it in a sustainable way. I'd rather much help them because, you know, I have clients that like, they have kids and then it trickles down to their kids. And so like, in terms of like impact, like that's what I'm thinking about. It's like, okay, where can I make the biggest impact? And I feel like that's the area that I can do that.
Absolutely. Very cool. I'm not sure how you feel about social media, especially these days. It kind of can really take over people's lives. But looking at your social media page, Alex, you just do such a good job at putting things out. It's very clean. It's organized. You answer a lot of people's questions that they may have when it comes to nutrition. Tell me a little bit about what is the role social media plays for a nutrition coach specifically in today's day and age?
Well, I think with me, the role that I use, the way I use social media, it's an education platform for sure. You know, there are people, the way people find you often is through social media. And then we live in a world where, okay, like you do need to like demonstrate what you know and things like that. And people can see, oh, this guy knows his stuff. Like, you know, let me work with them, or I'm curious about working with them. So I think it's important for that. But I also think it's important, social media. I use social media too to get a read on people and what people are kind of like struggling with and how to really approach coaching in a way to like the audience that, or the population I'm trying to coach. You know, like I like to put out like polls and stuff like that and ask people like what they think about things, because again, like if we want to be like the best coach that we possibly can, and we're coaching a certain population of people, we need to understand them. Mm-hmm. And I think that social media is a great way to really understand and have a forum for people to ask questions, and then you can engage with them and then really see what the issues are that is affecting your group of people.
Right, right. What do you think, Alex, are some of the things nutrition coaches, not to talk shit about anybody here, but what do you think some of the nutrition coaches are doing wrong in this day and age, whether it's with social media or without? What are some things that the mistakes you see that are being made in your field?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it's more, I don't necessarily say it's like wrong. It's just like, that's just where they are, like as a coach. But a lot of, I think a lot of coaches will focus a lot on things that aren't, and this is why I try to ask people what's their main struggle, what's their biggest frustration. They'll try to focus on like really small rocks, like things that, you know, and then they'll also take it to a point where it's like more scared, like negative, like don't do this or this will hurt you or you're being unhealthy. I think there's a lot of messages like that. And in my opinion, if I want to get somebody to change, I'm going to try to focus on what they should do or tell them like, hey, consider doing this, as opposed to like, don't do this or else, right? Like it's a very, there's a lot of still like negativity around fitness and health. Mm-hmm. And I think reframing things more in a positive way can get people to change a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. There's just a lot of like negative kind of connotation around, well, there's just a lot of information in general out there about nutrition. Sure. And I want to be later in this episode, I want to break it down a little bit more because, you know, probably more than anybody else, there's so much stuff out there that's like, it's almost like, who do I trust and who do I go to? And sometimes social media can kind of toss you in for a spin, not to really know who to go to.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that. Cause I mean, I get that question a lot. It's like, well, I get all this information and this person says this and this person says that. And then they reach out to me and like, they ask me, what do I think? And I think I frustrate people when they ask me these questions. Cause I turn it around. And I'm like, well, what do you think? What have you tried? Like, how has it worked for you? Like, I'm more so like, wanting to get them to think about, okay, is this actually make sense for me or not?
Right.
As opposed to just telling them, no, this person's wrong. Don't listen to them. Cause then the other person's going to come back and say the same opposite. Yeah.
Right. So true. So going back to the social media a little bit, if somebody were to be kind of a new coach, new nutrition coach, and they're like, you know, Alex, I don't know what to put out there. I don't know what people want to hear. And, you know, I have this information, but how do I even know if people care? Where do you kind of start with putting out content, or how do you kind of view that? I know you said you kind of like to ask and put out polls. Is there some other things you're thinking about of like, you know, what do people want to hear?
Yeah, that's tough, man. And I'm not going to lie, I even struggle with it too. And I think we tend to overthink things a lot as being coaches. I think we overthink like, oh, this is too basic. This is too obvious. Like, why would anybody want to know this? This is super simple. Like, but people don't know. And also people don't know what they need either. Mm-hmm. So like, I would say even if something is like ridiculously simple or basic, that's probably where you should start, honestly. Like, because if you try to make things really, really complicated, again, you're just going to kind of confuse people. And then what message you're trying to send. Like if you're trying to work with general pop people or whatever, you have to tailor that to them. But still, I've had even athletes not even know like what a vegetable is. So I think the biggest thing is like, nothing, it's like, there's no stupid questions. I think that there's no information that's mundane enough that you can't put out. And even if somebody said it before, it doesn't matter. Like it came from you and you put your own opinions into it, tweaks into it. It's yours. Like, don't worry about like, oh, somebody already said this, whatever. Like, just teach what you know, and then go from there.
Right. I think that's great advice for just CrossFit coach or any coaches really in general. It doesn't have to be a nutrition coach, but just knowing that like everybody in this world is on such a different level and have different ability levels and came from sports and not sports. And some people have never been in a freaking weight room before. So just to kind of like realize, like, you can't just put this everybody assumes kind of mantra out there. It's got to be more individualized, which is what you specialize in.
Yeah.
Very cool. I want to talk a little bit more about your process when it comes to coaching, and then we can get into more nutrition stuff. But tell me a little bit about how do you get new clients? What does that process look like?
Well, most of my clients come from referrals. I do get some social media from inquiries and things like that, but most of mine come from just working with other people. So if you're a coach listening to this, provide a good service. Like, people will refer you, and that's pretty much, I think, how I get the majority of my people. The other thing is too, is that I have a semi-lengthy vetting process, because, you know, I want to work with people, certain people, right? Like, some people are not going to be fits. And like, I think it's important. I think sometimes like new coaches or just anybody is really like the race is like, how many clients can I get? How many clients? Cause that's your paycheck at that point. Right. But I mean, at the same time, like, it's draining on you if you work with people that are not fits for you. And it's also a waste of the client's time if you're not also a good fit for them.
Right.
So I think it's very important to vet that process. And, you know, I do things like intake questionnaires. I sit on the phone with a new client for about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Wow.
And yeah, we talk about like what their goals are, what their challenges are, what they struggle with. And I know some coaches will be like, that's too long. But honestly, like, if you're going to work with somebody, you need to understand them. And if they're going to work with you for an extended period of time, 2 hours is nothing. And it's also a way for the client to really see like the value that you can bring. And like, it gets them hyped to work with you too as well. Right. So I think that's important on both sides.
Right. That's so crucial. I think that 90 to an hour and 20, man, that's such a long period of time, but it's one of those things, like, if they're not willing to even stick through that, then you know that they're not the client for you. And you could probably actually get a lot of red flags possibly. And then those first 90 minutes to know, like, this isn't going to stick, or this isn't really going to work out for you.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Where did you kind of get that? And how did that kind of come into your style of like, I need to do this? From day one, was it like, this is what I'm doing, and you started that way? Or tell me about that.
Yeah, no, from day one, man, that's what I've been doing, at least with, you know, initial intakes, like spending a long time asking questions, going through things like, you know, roadblocks and pain points and things like that, because again, like, you have to understand that. Got a lot of things from Precision Nutrition, which is a fantastic certification. Mm-hmm. Like, they have an entire questionnaire, like, intake form. And I honestly just use that. Like, it's fantastic. Like, cool. There's some things that I've added over time and put in there, but like, yeah, just using that. And really, even before I even get to the intake, you talk about red flags, like, you know, I have them, make a food record for like 3 days. And then a lot of times people don't make it past that. So, you know, if they're not willing to do even that, then I know it's not going to work.
Right. What are some of the key questions that you ask during your intake session or your consult session? If you were to give two or three that are very, very key that you're never going to miss, what are some things you're going to ask?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, one, I really need to understand why and a goal is important to them. Mm. And because people will come to me and they'll be like, well, I want to lose 20 pounds. And it's really important for me to understand why. And it's also probably more important for them to understand why that's important, because trying to get to any goal, doesn't matter how big or small, you're going to have to do something for it. And if you're not willing to do these things, you're not going to get that goal. And if it's not important enough to you, if you don't understand why you're doing it, as soon as it gets hard, you're going to quit. I mean, that's just what happens. So I really always ask why someone wants to do something, and then also how important it is to them in the grand scheme of everything else that they've got going on in their life. Because if they come at me and they're like, well, yeah, I want to lose 20 pounds, I want to get healthy. And then I ask them like, okay, well, on a scale from 1 to 10, like 10 being one of the most important things you got going on in your life and 1 being not important at all. If they come at me with like a 3, that it's not important, then I can't help them.
Right.
It has to be really, really important. And then they have to be committed, not to me, but committed to their goals. Like if they're only lukewarm committed, guess what? Like it's going, you're not going to stick with it when it gets difficult.
Yeah. So as a coach, Alex, if they come back to you and they say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds. How important is it to you? Now it's like a 3 or 4. At that point, are you responding like, you know, maybe this isn't the time, or do you still take them on? Or what is your response when the response to them is a little bit more lukewarm? How do you respond?
Yeah. Well, I've rarely had that happen.
Okay.
Because people don't go seek out help if they're not in some kind of if they feel like they really need help.
Right.
And it's important to them. Mm-hmm. That's only rarely happened. But yeah, man, if it's not important to them, I'm like, well, it sounds like this is not really something that's like super, super important to you. Maybe it's not really the time for you to invest in your energy and time and then to work on this. Like maybe you're fine the way you are. Like, and a lot of times in those particular cases, they've been like, yeah, okay, I guess I was just kind of curious or whatever. And so, yeah.
Because it's gonna take a lot of work too. And so maybe another question that you might ask is, you know, are you willing to put in the work that's gonna take? Are you willing to do food logs? Are you willing to not eat out on the weekends or whatever it may be? But maybe that could be another question too, is are you willing to do some of these things? Because if you're not willing to do it when you're most motivated in the consult session, then we know that it ain't gonna happen two or three weeks down the road. So that might be another question that might be beneficial to ask. Just how willing are you to commit?
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, and that's actually a question I ask. Is like, I ask, you know, what's your level of commitment? And I really try to clarify that in terms of, because people don't understand. I think people have a misunderstanding what commitment is. I think people think commitment is going 100%. If you're not doing it at all, if you're not doing it 100%, it's a very all or nothing.
Right.
I think that's a lot of what people misunderstand commitment as. And my view of commitment is that you're willing to do even 1%, you're still willing to do it, even if it's 1%.
Right.
And that's, to me, that's commitment. And also, even if you're not seeing the result right away, you're still going to do it because you know this is part of the process, it's the right thing to do, and you're going to keep going. That's commitment.
Right. And I think the big takeaway, Alex, is just that 90-minute consult is so important for communicating, setting up expectations. Like a lot really happens during those first 90 minutes, wouldn't you say?
100%. Right. 100%. Yeah. You said it great. Like expectations, like we got to be on the same page with expectations, because if we're not, then, you know, later on down the line, you're like, well, you said this, and I'm like, I thought we could do this. And then that creates really, really big tensions.
Right. Absolutely. I think agreements prevent disagreements is something that I was 100%. Told at a young age. So whether you're a nutrition coach or a personal trainer, I think everybody could really benefit from maybe taking a look at their consult session and just figuring out, like, you could ask some of these questions as a personal trainer, like ask, you know, why do you want your goal? Like, why do you want to bench press this amount or whatever? And then how important is, you can use some of these same things. It doesn't have to be just nutrition based.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And you know, you could ask some of these things on the front end too, if you wanted to further, you know, weed out people that were not super, super, it wasn't important to them and things like that. And I've seen people do that. I've had my thing. I'm just doing my thing.
Absolutely. Another question I want to ask is, how do you keep clients in the long term? I think nutrition is one of those things where, I don't know, if you work with somebody for 3 to 6 months, you kind of understand what to eat, what not to eat. You get maybe the macro thing, or you're kind of like, you get what's coming and kind of what you need to do. How do you keep somebody long term? Or is keeping somebody long term not your goal?
No, that's definitely not my goal. I tell people on our call, it's like, I want to help you reach your goals. My goal is so that you do not need a nutrition coach to tell you what to eat until you're 80. 80 years old, you know, that shouldn't be our goal. That creates an environment of like dependency. And I think as coaches, we should be trying to teach people how to be independent, mm-hmm. and do what they need to do on their own.
Right.
So, I mean, I do ask people to commit for a certain period of time for, you know, 6 months. I used to not do that. And then I changed that because one, it's more sustainable, mm-hmm. for business. If you're a coach, like you need to build a sustainable coaching practice. Like you can't be hustling every single month, you know, trying to find clients and stuff like that. You're going to burn out so fast. Mm-hmm. The other thing is too, is that change takes time and people understand that anyways. So people are usually pretty fine with setting an expectation like, look, we need to work on this for an extended period of time.
Right, right. Yeah. If you were to go back 2 years when you kind of started this venture, what is something you would do different?
Definitely have people, you know, commit and work, you know, on a time frame. That's something I didn't start off doing. Mm-hmm. I started off just doing like month to month, which was fine. And it was like a super low barrier. It was more so for me. Honestly, I think it was more me. Like I didn't feel like I wanted somebody to have like non-commitment or be able to like get out if they wanted to get out. But you know what? I'm a damn good coach. I know I'm a good coach and I know I can help them. I just need enough time to help them and it's going to take time. So that's why a big part of the reason why I like transitioned to like more longer commitments. Plus it's also just more sustainable. There was a lot of times early on in my coaching where I was like, again, just stressing out about like, oh my God, I lost like 3 clients this month. Now I got to go get 3 more clients. And that's just, you don't want to play that game.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I like it, man. Thank you for taking the time on those questions. I'm a online business coach as well, or online training coach as well. So I do some of the same things that you do. So some of it was just to kind of scratch my own itch. So I appreciate you getting into some of that stuff, but we'll get into some of the things that probably now more of the listeners want to hear. And that's more nutrition side of things. And so nutrition and coaching. So something that I'm sure you get a lot is, creating habits. Tell me about what you've learned about creating habits with clients and how you make them stick and kind of what's your just general outlook on creating healthy habits?
Yeah. So, I mean, a diet is not a solution, right? In my opinion, I feel like it's a tool to create lifestyle changes, lifestyle habits. So, you know, anytime that if I'm working with somebody, I'm always trying to identify like what lifestyle changes they're making. Even if we're doing something like straight, like macros, like we're still not just looking at numbers here. So I think it's really, really important to identify those things, even if they're not looking for them, that you need to identify like, hey, I noticed that you're, you know, eating more vegetables or you're doing this X, Y, Z, whatever. Like these are things that we need to keep doing beyond this time that you're just focusing on this goal. And I mean, of course, like that's where a big part of that intake is like learning about someone's lifestyle. Like if they are constantly traveling, then we need to form habits around how to navigate road trips or airplane trips and how to eat healthy on these things and what to do before and during and after. Like these are all things that you've got to work on, and you really have to understand and know your client if you're going to help them with your habits, because anybody can go online and go get numbers from a calorie calculator. That's not what makes all this shit work. It's making these changes so that one, it can be sustainable and they can do it for the rest of their lives. And then they keep the results that they actually are trying to work towards doing.
Right. Talk to me a little bit about creating habits that are low hanging fruit and what that means for when you work with people in your field.
Yeah. Low hanging fruit. So it's a lot. And when I first start with a client, I really like to focus on low hanging fruit type stuff. And what I mean by that is things that are very easy to change. They are not going to rock the boat, you know, in terms of their lifestyle. They are very willing to change them. They like recognize like, I know I need to change this, right, and I'm totally capable. I feel confident that I can change it. Let's change it. Those would be more low hanging fruits. A lot of people don't think about that, and not coaches, but just individuals, they're just like, well, I'm going to meal prep all my food and all this stuff. And I'm like, but you've never done that before ever. Right. And, or that you've tried to do that and you've like not been able to be consistent with it, but yet you're like going to Starbucks every single day and ordering like the biggest $12 coffee you ever had, like with loads of sugar in it. Right. So again, low hanging fruit type stuff, something they're super willing to do. They feel confident that they can do it and it's not going to rock the boat too much. I think that's where it's really good to start off with.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can see some of the biggest changes in those first 2 weeks. Like by the way of like soda, or like pop, right? Like if you're hey, let's give up, let's go like one pop a week or whatever it is. And like, just diminish it a little bit. I think like sometimes that's when you see the most gains right there and you didn't even do much.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is too, is like you, the hardest part about, I think, doing that, because a lot of people, they hire a nutrition coach thinking that this nutrition coach is going to come in, and a lot of nutrition coaches do this. And maybe that is a thing that some nutrition coaches may want to reconsider. They come in like a tornado and just like want to totally uproot their life, their client's life. And I think a lot of sometimes clients expect that. And that's why, again, it's really good to explain like expectations. Like I work with somebody, I'm like, I'm not going to uproot your life. Like we're going to work on things like one at a time, and we're going to identify some key things that you need to change and focus on them and build habits around them.
Right. Yeah. That's such a healthy approach, man. Because like, if you were to come in, and you've probably done this at some point in your life, you come in to work with somebody and then you start like the first week, you give them like five things. They're like, they're lost and it's just not going to happen. Yeah. And then they lose interest and then they cancel or whatever. And so tell us how do you give, is it like, hey, this week you're going to work on X, then the next week is it kind of one thing at a time, or how do you kind of go about a person's lifestyle in attacking like what's most important?
Sure. Yeah. One thing at a time, man. You know, I will identify what things need to change. And that, again, that call, it's a really big important, like at the end of the call, I tell them like, hey, like these are the things that we need to change, or that I think that would help you help benefit moving you towards your goals. Mm-hmm. What's the most thing that you're most confident about doing? And then sometimes, again, people will come at like, I want to do this big thing. And then I'm like, no. So, but yeah, focusing on one thing at a time, you know, allowing them to feel really confident with it. Like if they come at me and they're like, this is too easy, I need something more challenging, and they have demonstrated that they can do it, then we can move on.
Right.
You know,
like, right. And that's the key, being able to demonstrate that you were able to go no soda for 2 weeks or whatever it was. And so then you're kind of awarded with the next step, if you will.
Exactly. Like I always tell people, the analogy I use is like, we're driving to California. I'm in the passenger seat. You're driving. Mm-hmm. You can choose how fast you want to go, but I'm not going to let you run our asses off the road. That's how this kind of works. So like, my thing is, my role, I think, is to explain like, all right, you can do anything that you want to do. If you want to go faster, you can go faster, but you're going to have to show that you can do it. But then also, if you go faster, these are the trade-offs, right? These mm-hmm. are what could happen as a result, right? And if you're not able to do this and keep up with this, then you must dial it back and do what you absolutely can do. And that goes back to like the whole commitment thing.
Right. So Alex, how often are you checking in with your clients? It seems like you have a really good kind of toll on where people are at. How often are you, or does it vary on person to person, how many times you're talking to these people or catching up?
Formally, at least once a week, Okay. Formally. But I find that the people that engage with me the most, they're going to get the most out of it. Mm. And granted, like, you know, there's a timeline of how this works. Like early on in a client's, when you're working with a client, like they're probably going to engage with you a lot more, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it wanes off, and that's what we should see. We should see that. We should see some independence. We should not have this like codependent, like dependent relationship, like where they feel like they have to ask you for permission for every single thing that they do.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So when they check in with you weekly, what does that conversation kind of look like? How do you kind of lead that conversation?
Well, I mean, I have formats. I usually do like either email or phones, but I really like to start off and ask, like, what were some things that you did really well this week? I like to highlight wins and celebrate those and get people thinking about those, because I've even had clients that were like, and I asked them this question and they're like, I'm like, well, what are some wins? And they're like, honestly, I can't really think about it. And I'm like, nope, that's bullshit. We're going to sit here until like, I don't care how small it is. Like we're going to bring that to the table, you know? And sure enough, they always find something, right? They're just, people are accustomed to thinking like things are bad and negative and things like that. And then it's really hard to, again, foster change when you're thinking everything is just falling apart.
Right.
So I think that's really, really important to ask. And I always usually open up with that.
Right.
And then we talk about, you know, what their focus was and how their week has gone and what struggles and what roadblocks that they've had. And then again, it's just an opportunity to figure out problem solve. Like a coach is a problem solver.
That's right. Right. And it seems like a nutrition coach is more of a problem solver than any other coach. I think that's out there. My girlfriend does the nutrition coaching at our gym through WAG. And some of the things that I've just seen vicariously through her is that some of the things, most of the things she's working on, and you can feel free to agree or disagree, is a lot of psychological, lifestyle, and then the nutrition stuff almost comes like at the end of the conversation. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, tell me about your life, tell me about your stress, tell me about your relationship, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, it's like, so how did you eat this week?
Yeah. No, I think I've gone entire check-ins and we're like, we didn't talk about any food, but that's okay because it's not always about the food. Sometimes the food is a symptom of other things that's going on. And, you know, obviously it's, as a coach, you're going to hear about all sorts of things. And, you know, it's important to recognize what those things are and then, stay in your lane with them, set boundaries if you need to. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've referred out clients to like, hey, you need to go talk to this counselor or therapist or something like that. Because I mean, that's not my lane. I don't feel comfortable talking about that with you. So like setting boundaries, but also understanding again, if they tell you like, this is what you have to look at the big picture, this is what they're dealing with. And okay, how can we now still get you to eat healthy and be on track with your goals, even with this that's going on.
Right. Because some of it's super relatable. Like if they're having emotional stress or, you know, having a fight with a significant other or something else is going on that's causing stress and then they take that out by eating or doing something like that, like they're definitely connected. And so you, as a coach, you do have to be able to kind of recognize that and talk through some of those parts of their lives as well. It can't all just be carbs, fats, and proteins. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. You do need to recognize that and be able to work through that. But I think it's important to set boundaries and understand like what you are, what is your lane, what's not your lane.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. It seems like the nutrition industry, as well as the fitness industry, is just constantly changing. And there's always something new, new fad. You hear this stuff all the time. What are your thoughts as a coach on how you can help clients stay focused and kind of keep attention when the world of nutrition is so chaotic and there's so many different ideas out there?
Yeah, that's honestly pretty tough, if I'm being honestly, because I mean, when Game Changers came out, like I probably got 20 text messages, emails like, hey, I saw this documentary on Netflix. Go plant-based. And I'm like, we'll talk about that. I think a big part of it is this one, again, education. But also, again, if I had a client that wanted to go plant-based because they saw a documentary, then I would always kind of look at it as a sense of, okay, this, you can try it. Here are the trade-offs, right? This is, again, my role as a coach to explain those trade-offs. Like, again, the car analogy, if you want to take a detour and go see some side attraction, guess what? This is what's going to happen. This is how this could play out. If you still want to do this, then I will help support you do this in a healthy way, in a way that you can sustain it. But if it doesn't work, then we have to we have to revisit going back to what we were doing because this was working.
Right. And it goes back to like what you said before about how as a nutrition coach, when they hire you, you're not supposed to just come in and take things away and just be like this big, like bad guy that oversees everything. And I like the way you put that, Alex, where it's like, if they come to you like, hey, I want to go gluten free because my neighbor is gluten free and they lost a bunch of weight. And you're like, you're not going to just say, no, hell no, man. Sorry. Keep to your thing. We'll talk to you later. It's more of like, tell me more about it. Let's talk about it. And then let me educate you about what are the things that you're going to face, or maybe the struggles, adversity and such. That's such a more healthy way to go about it. And I think nutrition coaches kind of have that backwards sometimes where it's like either yes or no, there's no in between.
Right. Yeah. I think too, it's again, maybe an misunderstand your expectation of like what people want or what we should be. It's like, should we be, you know, meet people? I posted this poll on my Instagram the other day. It's like, what do you want a nutrition? If you're working with a nutrition coach, how do you want them to be, meet you where you're at or be super, super strict? It's interesting. A good chunk of people wanted super, super strict. Mm. A good chunk of people wanted meet me where I am. I feel like I'm in the middle. It's like, look, like, we're going to explain these things and tell me why you want to do it. And then I'm going to explain like, this is what can happen. But again, like if I know you're going to like run yourself off the cliff, I'm not going to let you do that. Like if you want to say like, well, I want to go on like a 5-day fast, like I'm just not going to sign off on that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I think there's a fine line between, like you said, like that was interesting that the poll came out pretty much even. Like that's so interesting.
Well, 60-40.
Okay. So I mean, even still, like I would assume before you said the answer, I would assume that nobody wants a super, super strict coach, but you don't know until you talk to them and get to know that. But that answer can tell you a lot about the individual you're working with. If they're like, dude, I want somebody that's super strict, like on my ass about it, then you got to be that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts growing up? I think you probably remember in like health class and like grade school, there was always the nutrition pyramid, right? And people have kind of mixed that, changed it, flipped it upside down, done a lot of different things. And they don't all have to be food categories. This is just a little bit of a fun question here. But if you were to create your own like health and wellness pyramid, what would that look like?
Mm. So health and wellness pyramid, we talk about just food or just health and wellness in general?
Man, you take it where you want. If you want to put food in there, we can do that. I'm just curious on how you kind of rank things when you're looking at just overall health and fitness and food and all of it.
Let's see. Well, obviously eating healthy, I think that's probably going to be the bottom of the pyramid, the base of the pyramid. And you can break that down into what that looks like. But I think most people predominantly, at least if they know anything about nutrition, are predominantly going to think like, are going to agree on like, let's eat lots of fruits and vegetables. Let's eat very minimal, you know, processed foods, things like that. I think that's going to be universally the kind of accepted thing. And then everything else is kind of more like preference. Let's see. Rest, sleep, man, like taking care of yourself. I think that would come up the next one. Absolutely. I think a lot of people probably thought I was going to put exercise, but honestly, if we're not taking care of ourselves, like getting enough rest, like managing stress, like things like that, it's really hard to do the eating healthy part, in my opinion. And then I would say like, you know, exercise, that would probably come next, and doing it in a reasonable manner. Like I think people can sometimes take exercise to extremes and want to train like 8 times a day and for several hours and thinking that more is going to be better there, but it needs to be again very sustainable in a way where you can keep doing for the rest of your life and add value as opposed to like take away. If you're constantly hurt and injured, you're probably not going to do any other stuff right.
That's
the other thing. And then that was just tough. I would honestly say maybe at the top, I don't even know. Like honestly, I don't even envision a pyramid, but maybe just like some of these things that are just kind of like mushed together and they're like, you need to be able to be doing things that make you happy, you know, adding value to your life, not, you know, stressing out about this stuff. Like this stuff should be fun. Having a mindset. I think a mindset is probably where I would place that next. It's like, where's your mindset at? Like a healthy mindset.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. That's the pyramid that needs to be in the textbook. That was a really good answer, man. I would not have been able to come up with that. That was like the perfect answer.
Very cool.
All right, man. So the next couple of questions I want to get into are just a little bit more like a lot of the stuff you write in your blogs, and probably a lot of the DMs that you kind of get, some more of the popular questions here. So I apologize if you've answered these a lot, but there's stuff that people want to hear. So my first one is, what are some tips that you give to people that want to eat well while they're traveling? And then on top of that, what do you tell people that live a life that they're in the airport a lot? How do you eat healthy in the airport and then also while traveling?
Yeah, that's a good question because I travel a lot. road trips and airplane. I actually just went to Thailand a couple months ago.
Oh, so sweet.
That was an experience. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, Thailand's dope. Let's see. So traveling, I think a big part of traveling, like trying to eat healthy, is, well, I would say like the fundamental thing is you need to be flexible. Mm. You need to have an open mind about what you're going to choose. Things are not going to be perfect. You have to be okay with things being good enough and not ideal or optimal. I think that's a really big roadblock where people with traveling type get held up on, is that there's so many rules, like don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat that. Like, and then that's all that may be a big chunk of what you see. So you kind of need to, then it's like, well, what am I going to do? And then the default behavior is to choose whatever you feel like choosing, right? And maybe that's always not the best thing to do. So I think being open, being flexible, is a really, really key mindset if you're going to be traveling. And yes, also being prepared. So, you know, I encourage people to, you know, buy snacks before, right? Like if you're going on a road trip, like stock up, right? Like get a cooler, get plenty of snacks that you can keep in your car, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if you have to stop at a Love's or a Pilot, like be okay with looking for things and choosing things. Like they have options there. You just have to keep your eyes open. And it, again, may not be perfect. Like you may end up choosing a bag of pretzels, but you're choosing a bag of pretzels and then maybe some fruit and then like a piece of jerky, as opposed to getting like one of those nasty corn dogs that sit on a roller. Like
That's been there all day.
I know, but like people will eat those though. I'm like, you gotta be open and flexible. Mm-hmm. I really do think that that's a big thing. Even in the airport, like there are options. You can go to any fast food place. You can order something. Like you can make it that you can make it okay. Mm-hmm. You just have to think a little bit and spend a little bit of time to think about it and be like, how can I make this a little bit better than it is, and go with it. Mm. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that answer, man. Just being flexible on it. Cause the last thing you want to do is like, let's say you are stuck somewhere and you're eating something that's not something that you'd eat at home, and then you start beating yourself up on it. And if it ends up like ruining your day or like ruining how you eat the rest of the day, then we're really going backwards here. So being flexible, I think, is super. That's a great answer. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many tactics and things like that and whatever, but I think just having that openness, that flexibility, and thinking outside of like, and being okay with it not being perfect. Mm. Like that, I think, is one of the big things.
Got it. Very cool. Yeah. This might be the same kind of answer, or maybe not, but tell me, what are some of your tips when eating out at restaurants? I think that's something that's even more popular now, just with like, you know, your work meetings or whatever it can be. Sure. But what lessons or tips do you have when going out to eat for dinner or what have you?
Sure. Basically kind of the same thing, you know, be flexible. But also if we were talking about a little bit more strategic things, like, you know, plan ahead, right? Like if you know where you're going, look up the menu. Like I will look up the menu just because I want to know what's there, right? Like see where it's at. A lot of places now they have to publish nutrition info, right? But if they don't, then you can still get a good idea. That way you're not showing up on the fly and then having to think about like under pressure, like what you want to do, and then just mulling over the menu and stressing out about it. And when you're trying to enjoy or do whatever you need to do at this dinner, right? Mm-hmm. So I think looking ahead is a very, very big thing about like if you're going to eat out. I think you can solve probably 95% of that navigating that situation if you just look ahead. And if you don't know, like my visa say, like you have no idea like where you're going, somebody's just like, well, we're just going somewhere. Okay. Again, that's where you have to be a little bit more flexible. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think about, okay, well, I'm going to order mostly meats and vegetables, things like that. You can always can manage like how much of it you eat. You can pay attention to your hunger and fullness. Maybe don't go starving into that meal. Like eat normally. I think a lot of people mess up with that. They're like, oh, I'm going to go out to eat, so I need to not eat any food going the entire day. Mm-hmm. That's not the best way to go about that.
Right. Yeah. Another nutrition tip I got. Do you remember Thomas Cox? Were you
Thomas Cox, Meal Fit.
Yeah, man. He's awesome. I had him on the show a long time ago. We're old friends. And something that he said about nutrition and going out to eat that I really liked was that he basically said the restaurant you're at is there to service you. And so if you go in there and you order, you know, a chicken sandwich, and let's say you don't want don't be afraid to just say, I don't want the bread, or I want this, and be okay with like kind of customizing your order a little bit, and they'll do it for you. You're not, you know, dragging on them. They're there to service you. Is that another thing that you would kind of echo?
100%, man. Actually, I just talked with a client last night. She's headed up to a trip and she's going to be eating out, and like, look, restaurants, they just want your money. Mm-hmm. Like if they have it, if they can make it, they'll make it for you. Mm-hmm. Like, and they'll charge you. And that's fine. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask. And I think some people think like, I don't want to be difficult, but
right.
You know, at the same time, like they're not going to be the ones that have to deal with whether or not you are going to be getting to your goals or not. So right. Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. This might also be kind of in the same path, and it's a little bit more psychological, but tell me a little bit about the pressure of being able to eat healthy and stay with your goals in a social setting. I know sometimes with people that are gym freaks or whatever, very committed, they get to with their high school buddies that are not at all. And sometimes that can be a little bit of like a, you know, you're almost nervous to kind of tell them this is what you're doing, or you're ordering certain food. How do you go about that? Have you crossed that path with clients, or what does that look like?
Oh yeah, totally. If they're people that you're hanging out with on the regular, I think it's really important to tell them what you're doing and have them understand. Like, this is also why I think it's really important for the client to understand what their why is, because if they understand what their why is, they can communicate that to other people in their circle. Doesn't matter if it's friends, significant other, and honestly, if they care for you as a person, they love who you are, they love you, then if you explain to them why it's important to you, they will understand. Or they will at least be like, okay, cool. Like, whatever. Yeah. You can't expect them to fully support you, but they will at least understand, and maybe not like, you know, hound you on it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's really, really important for anybody that you're hanging around like on a regular basis. Mm. Yeah. So that communication. The other thing, if they're not, or just in general, I would say that you kind of have to let go of what other people, how they're going to react to things and how they're going to respond, because you don't have any control over that.
Right.
And you have to, that's why, again, it's really important to understand your why and your focus, and be like, okay, that's them. If they get offended, or if they think this is not me, I've done this in a way that's aligned with my values, and I think I went about this the right way. That's just them. I'm just going to let that go and let it go. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be willing to let go of what other people are doing or what other people will say or think, because you know, you have your goals and they are important to you, and that's why they're important to you.
Absolutely. Great answer. I think because to some people, dude, it's like you pull up with a container full of your food, or you order a certain thing. And like, to some people, there's a lot of people out there that have no idea what eating healthy looks like or what meal prepping looks like. And it's to them, it's like, it's blasphemous. It's like, what are you doing? And so it's just creating that communication, I think, is super important. And maybe even teaching them something along the way of like, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in those situations, like social situations, friend groups and things like that, maybe it's them, mm-hmm. what they're feeling that's coming out. Maybe they feel threatened. Like they inside know that they should change, but they don't know how. And then they see you doing it, and then they get threatened by that. Or people also don't like change. Maybe they're like, well, you're my best friend and you're not going to come out drinking with me anymore. Then we're not going to be friends anymore because you're trying to be healthy. And then I don't want to lose you. Like that made that thing. So that's again, why it's important to communicate like, hey, by the way, like we're still going to be friends and tear up when we want to tear up. But I need to make these changes in my life so I can be healthy. And this is why I'm doing it. And this is why it's important to me. Yeah. And you know what? I would love for you to support me with that.
Absolutely.
That's how you can be a good friend.
That's no doubt. That's a great way to put it, man. Tell me a little bit about how does alcohol play a role in some of this stuff? And how do you kind of approach it with clients who do drink alcohol? Like, where do you kind of view alcohol when it comes to coaching somebody through nutrition?
Again, it's always one of those things that's got to be dependent on their goals. You know, if they want to walk on stage in a Speedo or in a bikini, alcohol for probably a good bit of it, that is not going to fit in at that. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just not going to align, or at least excessive, or maybe even any at all. But somebody who just wants to be a little bit healthier and enjoy life and things like that, it could totally fit in there. It's just what's an appropriate amount for that goal or that the way that you want to live. And, right. And actually it's funny. I was just talking to my mom yesterday because this is one of her big struggles is, you know, she has these goals that she wants, but she is struggling with the notion of having to change further. She's already changed her drinking. Like, you know, she drinks like a glass or two of wine at dinner. And that's what she enjoys doing. She loves doing that. But she's having to change that some more. And she's struggling with the notion of having to change that more to get to her goals. And then when we were talking, my mom and I were talking, she's like, well, damn, maybe what I want, you know, I've already come this far. I've made a lot of progress.
And like, I find that a lot of people,
I don't find someone I really want to pose these questions to them. They're like, you know what? I'm actually good where I'm at. Like, yeah. I don't really want to take it to that next level. And I think that that's fine. And I don't think we should try as coaches to like force people to think, to do what we think that they should do. I think we should be the ones that are facilitating their own happiness, like how to be happy for themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Amen. And I think it comes back to what we always said, like, don't come in and start just taking things away. Cause I think there's some things in people's lives that are just non-negotiables and that might come out in your intake or your console.
Yeah. Like, you asked that.
like, here's the thing. Every Friday I go out to happy hour and I'm not going to miss that. So it's like, I'm not going to be here as your coach and tell you to stop doing that. Let's work around that. That is in fact a non-negotiable.
Yeah, totally. Non-negotiables. But also, you know, if someone comes at you with a bunch of non-negotiables, like I'm not willing to do this, I'm not willing to change this. Like if it becomes to, it's like, and I'm not willing to compromise, then I'm like, okay, well, do you actually want to do this at all? Mm-hmm. And it may be that that's the question that they needed to ask themselves.
Right. And I would almost venture to say that like having one or two non-negotiables might actually be like a pretty healthy thing because it's keeping you like a little bit more in ground of where you're at and as who you are as a person. So you're not just like changing everything. Like if there's something that you do every week or every month, like I would want you to continue to do that just so we're not changing completely who you are.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's a value and identity thing. Again, like go back to my mom. She's like, she likes throwing parties and dinner parties and things like that. It's like, and she has, you know, friends that she invites over and it's like, she feels like that's so, it's really, really important to her to be able to do these things. And yeah, so.
Cool. I'm glad we could connect on that. What advice would you tell people who do a great job eating during the week? They're in a routine, you know, they go to work, they eat this, they work out, their Monday through Friday is really solid. And then Saturday, Sunday, they just kind of lose it because they're not in their weekday routine. What advice would you give to those people?
Yeah, I wrote a post on that actually. I think the biggest thing with that is people view the weekends as different. And yeah, okay, they are different. You're not going to work and maybe there are some differences, but I think a really big important thing is to kind of view the weekend as just another day. In terms of like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to eat breakfast. I'm going to do all these things pretty much how I do, you know, normally. And I'm going to try to stay as normal as possible. I think when we start thinking of like, well, this is Saturday, so I can just do whatever I want to. Like, that's, I think, where things can get a little bit, you know, go haywire.
Right.
Like my weekend routine, like Saturday, I wake up, go eat breakfast, all right, make myself breakfast, and then I will do some work, and I will go to jiu-jitsu. I'll go grocery shopping afterward. I'll come home. I'll cook a little bit, and then I'm chilling at night. And I'm usually eating the food that I prepared right. after I got home from the grocery store. And I know that sounds boring, but, you know, whatever. And if I wanted to go out, like last weekend, me and Lori went to go play like putt-putt, like mini golf, like whatever. Like you could still do things. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to look, again, it's like one of those things, like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like it doesn't have to look like total routine, but it doesn't also have to just look like nothing at all.
Right, right.
I think setting up some weekend routines is good.
Mm-hmm. Very simple, but like so much weight in that answer. Do you know what I mean? Like you're just like, you're like, bro, it's another day. And I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, it's just another day. Cause I'm kind of that guy too. Like I'm in that boat, like Monday through Friday, I'm tracking my macros. I'm doing my thing. And then Saturday, you know, we work out at different times, do different things. And sometimes like that's when I'm not as consistent as I'd like to be. But you think about that, like you take 2 days out of every week, that can add up.
All right. Yeah. If you're doing, again, like if you're doing 80% of the same things that you're doing during the week on the weekend, that's fine. Right? Absolutely.
Very cool. Yeah. It seems like the message you like to get out about eating healthy and nutrition is a lot of it has to do with just thinking ahead. Would you agree?
Yeah. Thinking ahead.
Looking ahead, being prepared, like just brain. Some of those things. Yeah.
Some people I think don't want to use their brain a little bit. Like they're like, again, I get it. Like, but you're going to have to think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I even have to think about it. I've been doing this for like 10 plus years. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, you're going to have to think about it. You can't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. Things get easier to make decisions and navigate as the better you get with it, but you're still always going to have to think about it. And I hate when I don't hate it, but I understand where it's coming from, but it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to think about it. Then you're probably not going to see what you want to see.
Right.
You don't ever want to think about it. Mm-hmm. You got to put some TLC into it.
That's right. I have just a couple more questions, then we'll wrap it up here. But something that has been interesting for me as I've gotten a nutrition coach in the last 6 weeks now, and something that I have found out is that I significantly undereat, and I'm a competitive mm-hmm. CrossFit athlete. And so after raising some of my macros and my overall just calories, I've been able to stay the same weight and really lean out in you know, my abs and places like that. And it's kind of cool to see that sometimes eating more can actually make you look a little bit better. And so my thought to you is, or my question to you is, how many people out there are under eating? Is that a thing that you see quite a bit? And how do you kind of go about people that need to eat more?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty common. I think what more so actually is happening is, people will say that they are eating 1200 calories. They may be eating 1200 calories like a couple of times a week, thinking that they're eating 1200 calories. They may be, right? They also may be. And then they have episodes where like the weekends, or they have a string of 1200 calorie days or low calorie days, and then they eat all the food, right? Like things are not like your body is not like so segmented, like every day it's its own thing. It's an average of what you do over time.
Got it.
So yeah, I think with people who are under eating, and I see that, they probably are under eating on certain days, but then especially if they're not like leaning out, or they're struggling with losing weight, they're getting calories from somewhere else. And mm-hmm. it's usually what I find is that when we start actually getting somebody consistent and eating a sustainable amount of calories, like you're trying to cut on, like somebody was trying to cut on like 1200 calories, which is way too low. And I'm like, okay, you actually could cut on like 1600. They can actually sustain that and not be like ravenously starving and then going raiding the fridge with Oreo and Oreo cookies and shit. Mm. Like they're actually able to actually make some progress because it's the effects over time. It's the consistency over time that they have changed.
Consistency is key, man.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's number one. Let's not overcomplicate this. We could just end the episode now, man. Consistency is key.
That's it.
Oh, that's funny, man. A lot of my listeners are members at the gym, at the CrossFit gym here in Lakeville. And you know, they are committed to CrossFit. They do it 5 days a week. I know you went into some CrossFit as well. What are some things, just tips on nutrition? I know nutrition is very individualized, so this might be hard to answer, but what are some things you would tell just general members who do CrossFit 5 days a week, your average Joes? What are some things you tell them as far as nutrition goes?
Well, let's see. Keeping it basic, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of fruits and vegetables, right? Get lean proteins, get enough sleep, drink enough water, take rest days.
Amen.
I mean, that's pretty, honestly, like that's really the majority of it. We can get into like the complicated stuff. We can get into more detail, but like, if you stick to those things, like basic things, like you're going to be healthy. That's going to get you like 80% there. Right. Very it's cool. Yeah.
Awesome. So, keep it simple.
Keep it simple, people.
Awesome, man. That's a great. That's a great place to end it. I want to go into the final five questions here. We'll whiz through these and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. Here we go. First one. If you were to give advice to an 18-year-old kid, Alex, who wants to be in your shoes someday, what would you tell him or her?
I'd say, focus on the process, not the outcomes of anything, right? Like, you know, learn as much as you can. Every experience is a great experience because it can teach you something. So don't worry so much about like outcomes. Just focus on process, getting better, learning as much.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So wise. Number two. What is a yeah, that's right, Baby Yoda. That'll be the cover photo for this thing. Number two, what is a book or a resource or a podcast or a documentary? What's just something out there that you think everyone should either read or watch or get into?
I think a book that I commonly recommend is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza.
Oh, tell me about that a little bit. I haven't heard that.
It's a great book. It's a little bit hokey out there, but you got to open your mind up a little bit. But basically it's about like change, right? Cool. Which is essentially all that this is and what we're trying to do. And a big, big key tenet of it is that like we can be anything that we want to be. But we have to not only just feel it, and we not only have to think about it, we also have to live it and feel it and be it. Like you have to be different if you want to be different. And, you know, he goes on to other stuff too, like gratitude and meditation and how to manifest these things. But I think it's a really, really great message about like, you have the possibility to do whatever you want. You are where you are right now, but if you can make these changes if you want to, and this is how to do it. Go look about it. It's a great book.
That's super cool. Did you say who the author was?
Joe Dispenza.
Okay.
He's pretty big on Instagram too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Mike Bledsoe recommended that to me a long time ago. It took me a while to get about reading it, and I read it, and it was definitely one of those books that were like game changer.
Sweet. I'm gonna look into that. Cool. Number three, if you had your own billboard, what would you want your billboard to say?
I don't know, man. I thought about that before. I should have thought about that before, man.
Is there a message that you'd like to just get out there other than keep it simple, keep the nutrition simple?
Man. Oh, man. Man, I don't even know.
We can come back to it, too.
We can come back. Let's come
back. All right. Number four, if you had the chance to work out with anyone in the world, they must be alive, who would it be and why?
I definitely would say, man, Michael Jordan, because that was my idol, man, when I was a kid. So I would love to just like work out with him. I'm terrible at basketball, but I'd be like, hey, man, let's go lift some weights. Let's go do some stuff. Like,
right. Yeah. I'll show you how to clean and jerk.
Yeah. Like, I'll maybe show him like some jujitsu stuff, you know.
Word. Very cool. Yeah. Number five. Absolutely, man. Number five. What is one thing that you do every day that is essential for you to have a successful day?
I just wrote a post about this on my stories, but it's making myself you know, a nice breakfast, good breakfast. You know, I when I'm rushed in the morning, I feel like, and I don't, you know, make the time to make myself a nice breakfast, even just, you know, throw in some stuff like a yogurt bowl or whatever, like I feel different. I don't feel as confident and capable of like taking on the day. I just don't. So I try to start every day with solid breakfast.
Yep. Very cool. Did you come up with your billboard?
Oh man, I don't know. We have to figure out one later.
Check it out. If you get one, DM me and then we'll put it in there. All right, cool. If somebody wants to follow you or be coached by you or see what you're up to, what are the best avenues to do that?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Alex Q Macklin, M-A-C-L-I-N. You can also check out my website, alexmacklin.com. I have some blogs on there. I post most of my content on Instagram though. But if you want to work with me, you can go to alexmacklin.com/coaching and then you can give me some more information and I'll send you the process of how I take people on, which I kind of talked about too on this podcast.
Very cool, man. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for the practical advice. I think sometimes people in this field like to make things way more complicated. And something I really enjoy about you is that you keep it simple. Like everything is just like, don't overthink it. So thank you for taking the time to share your word. Guys, if you enjoy this podcast, share it on your Instagram, tag me, tag Alex. Also give it to a friend that could really use some nutritional advice. If you can, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and some feedback as well. If you're looking for a clean and delicious post-workout supplement, make sure to go check out Ascent Protein at ascentprotein.com. Thank you for stopping by. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of the My Fit Podcast.